welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I'm your host, Franny Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and I'm a screenwriter. And
you sound so nervous.
No, I'm not. I feel like this is going to be a classic old school break. This is going to be an old school story break episode. No ifs, ands, buts, or nuts about it. It's just going to be like an OG. It's going to be an OG episode. I feel like it's going to be just a classic.
What's an OG episode?
Like an original episode. Original gangster story break episode. You know, like just like we did back in the good old days when we were starting out this podcast, just a simple little IP.
Back when we were in the low to mid double digits.
Just a simple little IP that we're like, hey, we got this pure, honest little video game franchise. We're going to make a movie out of it. I'm Will Campos. I'm a screenwriter. Moving on.
I'm Matt Arnold. I'm a writer director. All right.
This is the sign is that none of us had a wacky joke for our name.
How did we? Okay.
Because usually it's like I have something to kind of, you know, goof off of, like,
yeah.
And then Matt's like, oh, you stole the goof I was going to do, but it's just Frogger, guys. It's just Frogger. There's three stories. There's man goes on a journey, stranger comes to town, and frog crosses freeway.
I think that's Frog Goes on a Journey.
This is maybe a little bit the spiritual successor to Why Did the Chicken Cross the Road?
Did the chicken cross the road too? Why did the frog cross the road?
Yeah.
Exactly. No, I understand why frogs cross the road.
Is there?
That's
okay.
That's true. It is built into the game. So let's talk a little bit about Frogger.
So Frogger is a classic 1981 video game. Look, we all know Frogger. We all know that classic wacky frog.
Can we get your mom to call in and explain Frogger to us?
I could probably call my mom right now and she would be able to explain what Frogger is. Like, this could be the first Will's Mom Explains What Frogger Is segment on the show. Everyone knows Frogger. It's the game where you got to get the frog across the road with the logs.
It's a classic. Was it on Atari originally?
Incorrect. It was an arcade game originally by Konami.
So for those that don't know, it's a classic arcade game where you play a frog, and the game was you had to cross a street with a bunch of moving cars and then a river with a bunch of logs and crocodiles, and you just keep crossing the street and the river until you get a high score.
Incorrect. You have five frogs. There are different homes for the frogs at the end. You must maneuver all five into their slots. There is a little bit of strategy into this. Please do not besmirch the good name of classic arcade golden age video
games. Is the story that there's five different frogs?
You are perhaps a family of frogs.
So that is interesting, because it's either you have multiple frog lives. You're trying to get all five frogs across the road?
Those count as the players' lives, yes.
So you are trying to get, but it's not like, here's my question. Okay, now
it's one frog, because they did more Froggers as time went on, including 3D Froggers, which I played all the time on my original PC, and that was very clearly a character called Frogger.
I wouldn't surprise me if it was like this whole time we've had it wrong and you actually play a getaway squad of five Froggers trying to get back to their safe houses after a bank heist or something.
I mean, we just did Hungry Hungry Hippos. Really want to do a frog.
I mean, okay, you're just breaking the rules of the original.
That's not breaking
five,
the rules.
There are not five frogs.
There are not five frogs.
Yeah, there are. Because if you do that level right, you fill up all five slots
at
the top of
the
game. That's not come at me with this, Matt. I go to this arcade every day.
I play Frogger. I'll beat you in Frogger.
Oh,
the game starts
you want
with three,
this?
We're going to do
you
it.
You want this?
The game starts with three, five, or seven frogs, depending on the settings used. Those are counted as the player's lives. Not individual frogs, Freddy's. The player's lives.
Holy
from Wikipedia.
Shit, you have never played this game.
Also known as Frog's Homes. So,
plural.
But here,
no, Frog Homes.
But here's my question, because if I seem to remember this right, at the end of the map, when you put a frog into the home and then it jumps to the next frog, like that home is blocked off now because there's a frog in it.
Yes.
So it's not like you're the same frog coming back. There's already a frog in that home.
I like to think that, considering, because again, I'm looking at the whole Frogger canon. So Freddy's clearly a classical traditionalist when it comes to Frogger lore. But my pitch in terms of that lore would be, frogs got to keep moving. They got to keep finding food. I think it's that they go to a home, and that home is stepped on or washed away by rain or whatever it is. And then, you know, they got to go out and find more food. And when they come back, that home's gone, and they got to find a new home.
Regardless,
I don't want to do five different frogs.
Well,
it's like a frog family.
Okay, what are we get? Okay, let's just decide this first important thing. If we're gonna do
five
different frogs,
is it but one frog or a family of
are
frogs?
Are you ignoring all the other frog games?
Look, I don't want to rush into a decision.
Last time I checked, Matt, we're doing a break on Frogger, not Frogger's Journey, the Forgotten Relic, not Frogger Evolution,
that's a good-ass game.
Not motherfucking Frogger Inferno, not Frogger 3D, not Frogger Decades, not Frogger Hyper Arcade Edition, but Frogger.
Hold on, I gotta hear more about Frogger Inferno. Is that what I think it is?
I'll quote you IGN's 5 out of 10 review of Frogger Inferno. Old Frogger should cut down on the turkey chili. A few months ago, somebody from Konami asked me what I thought could be added to Frogger to make it better. I thought long and hard and finally came up, I don't know, fire farts? Lo and behold, Frogger Inferno is here. You fart fire in Frogger Inferno.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Wait,
it creates a fiery path behind each of your jumps, which means you have to, navigate that maze that your previous path.
Oh, but it's not that Frogger got hit by a car and now you're guiding Frogger Virgil-like through the various circles of Frog Hell, which is what I was assuming Frogger's Inferno was.
Holy shit, Frogger's Inferno. Okay, hold on. You might have just already broken this right here, baby. It's Frogger, right? And we know how Frogger goes. You go, and it's like it's a binary. You either make it to your home, you make it across the perils of the road, or not. Why now? Why is this one different? Because this one, old Froggy Boy, gets splatted by a fucking semi, and we're going to hell.
I mean, that'd be a hell of a way to start a kid's movie, is you introduce this little adorable frog character voiced by, like, Seth Rogen or whoever you get for it, and he's jumping across the road, and it's all exciting, and it's like, oh, he's got to get home to his family, or his four brothers, and they're crossing the road, and then, swoom, a semi-truck hits, and the guts spell out Frogger. You're like, holy shit, they killed Frogger in the teaser of this movie, and then it cuts to hell. And Frogger's got
Then it cuts to a James Bond title sequence type thing.
As he's falling.
Where Frogger's plummeting into the afterworld. And Adele is singing the theme song. And there's a bunch of tasteful silhouettes of lady frogs.
Oh, it'd definitely be like a dissection table. Okay.
It's like that. It's like the 16mm grain, like shots of like a frog being dissected, and it's like flashing. It's like, and it's like, whoa, it's like really intense.
And then Frogger's got to make his way back to the land of the living and crosses like the river.
This is Greek. This is classic.
Yeah, that's the last river is the river Styx that he's got to get past.
Holy
and
shit.
It's the boatman on his boat.
And
like,
the last highway, the highway to hell.
Yeah, AC/DC shows up. It's like a big Pee Wee's Adventure movie.
The ending is he has to cross the highway to hell and the river Styx.
Well, that's story break, guys. That's the Frogger movie.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. What if we just did classic arcade games and we gave ourselves 10 minutes each?
We just did like lightning round, 12 classic arcade, like a Namco fun pack for
Namco
the PS1.
Fun pack for the PS1, but in podcast form, because we just did Frogger.
If we all sound a little loopy, it's because this is actually a Saturday, because we have to record an extra episode this week because Freddie's going on vacation because he finished ACD.
This is loopy to the max. And if you like loopy thirsty boys, then boy.
Okay, I will say that I'm okay with this idea. Yeah. Story Break is the only podcast where you also get to hear them break what the podcast is going to be about every week. I'm okay with this idea, but I don't think we fully broken the Frogger movie.
No, not at all.
I don't think you can. I don't think we could call that a. So what we need to do right now is establish some terms. Like, what is, like, we have 10 minutes per segment. Okay, so we spent about 5 minutes on Frogger so far. So I think we give ourselves another 5 minutes to round out Frogger, and we got to get a five act.
We're not going to be able to get five acts of every movie in 10 minutes.
That's what you think, Matt.
Oh my God.
But how's that attitude?
Get rich or die trying. All right. So we've got 5 minutes to finish Frogger, and then we're on to the next classic video game. And here's what I'm going to say. I think Freddy is going to be our VGJ.
Yep.
And he's just going to throw video games at us, and then the two of us have to just go through them. 10 minutes a pop.
Yeah, okay. Baby. Here's the answer that needs to be. Here's the question that has to be answered to figure out the final bits of this.
Why is Frogger going home? Where's he going? What's at home?
Where was he jumping to? What did that truck rob from him?
Okay. So, a lady frog is mm-hmm. probably the most obvious thing. Or maybe
it's, oh, it's his spawn.
It's Odysseus, little... and it's like there's a lady frog and a he's got like
and a
his...
bunch of four suitors.
Yeah, well, this is what you do. This the it's the other one. It's the, there's a bunch of suitors. Okay. Oh. Okay. I've got it. I've got it. This merges the nexus. Right. There's five frogs at the imagine five
imagine
frogs
five
on the edge
frogs
of a
on the edge of a highway.
Okay. So you do there's like five frogs, but and like our frog, the main frog Frogger is trying to get back home to his wife, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's also there with these like these four horny boys he went on an adventure with, right? And they're just trying to get home. It's like the Odyssey.
Maybe they're the Budweiser frogs. Maybe they're not.
He leads his way. He leads his troop of across the road, and they let him get pasted by a truck. And now they're like, we're gonna go. It's Odysseus style. Like they're gonna like we're gonna go be like, oh, we're so sorry that Frogger died, but like you know they're gonna try to swindle his old lady essentially and his son. And now it's like the Odyssey, and he's got to get through hell itself to get back to stop them. And he comes back as an old man, and he has to shoot an arrow through a bunch of axe handles.
He has to shoot his tongue through a bunch of to hit a fly through a bunch of lily pads with a hole in it.
What you need is you need what Frogger was going to do when he got there before he got hit by the truck, and then how that changes when after he's got hit by the truck and he makes it through. Like Odyssey is a story of pride.
Yes.
And so it
what
would
is
be
Frogger's sin?
Was Frogger going to cross the street and tell his wife like we're through because he's a coward or something? And then like this time when he finally makes it home, he's like, I love you and I'm going to take care of.
Here's what it is. Is that Frogger is like he's all about the road, man. Mm-hmm. And so he was coming home to break up with his old lady.
Yes.
Like he was coming home to tell them like, listen, I'm going to the next town or whatever. Maybe like he's a crook. Like, is he a criminal?
I would do those four boys are his like, you know, that's like, yeah, it would be like, it's a little bit like Conker's Bad Fur Day, which is brilliant, which is like, it's like, you know, it's a guy who's settled down finally, but mm-hmm. he's hangs out with like the old, you know, the old fat bros where they were going to, you know, where they used to party. He's like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't settle down. Maybe I should keep partying. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was going to go do. He's going to say like, you know, he was even too cowardly to break up with her. He's just going to tell her, hey, I'm going on an adventure with my four bros. And like, if you can't handle that, you can break up with me or what?
Oh, and you know, he was coming home for his loot. Because he's got loot. Here's that way, so it's not like they're all just, it's not this gross misogynist thing.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They're all just coming home to like, you know, like to run game on his lady or whatever. Yeah. You would do, he's got like his life savings, right?
Yes.
Like socked away in his little froggy hole.
And they had and just so, been planning. He freaked out because they were planning like the house they were going to buy.
Yeah,
and
the
all
swamp.
This stuff.
They were going to move to the swamp. He's a city frog, right?
He's a city frog.
They're like, she's like, I'm worried about you running across the street every day. He's like, I'm a city frog. I can't slow down. Like, yeah. I've got my life out here, right? So you would do, yeah, he and his frog bros were going to, he was going to come home, get the money, and tell his wife, like, I'm leaving to go on a life of adventure, essentially.
Yes.
And then
he
gets
goes
run
on
over.
Adventure.
But then, so the ticking clock is the four bros set him up, and they're going back to his house to steal his money.
Yes.
So that's what originally he's going back for.
Yes.
But then, as he's going through, what are the layers of frog hell? Well, there's like...
There's lust, which is just surrounded by flies. Right?
Well,
there's
flies
everywhere, and it's just like, oh, the frogs are just like...
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, he definitely finds, like, the sexy... What's
Cersei?
Oh, no, sorry, that would be gluttony. You know what? Lust and gluttony are probably
What's the woman on the island?
Cersei.
Cersei, yeah. And then she's like, you can have all the flies you want here. And he's like, oh, I totally forgot about my wife and getting back home. And he's eating flies
for
like
you
would
do, it's
years.
The seven layers of hell, essentially, that the city represents.
The nine layers.
The nine layers. Well, no, but I was going to say you make the seven deadly sins. Plus layers because it's seven deadly sins plus two more frog sins.
Frog-related sins.
What are two frog-specific sins?
Dry skin. That's not really a sin.
That's just... No, I'm sorry. Listen, I suffer from mild eczema, Matt, and that is fucked up what you just said.
Frog sins, jumping...
Oh,
fear.
Dude, splashing your lily pad. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you go too hard off that lily pad, you will ruin that lily pad.
Splashing the lily pad.
Splashing the lily pad.
Splashing the lily pad.
Abandoning your tadpoles? Something with tadpoles.
No, they definitely abandoned them tadpoles. They're out.
Eating tadpoles.
Oh, eating tadpoles.
Eating tadpoles. Okay, so those are the two layers, right? Because and then as he's going, he's kind of like seeing people from his, you know, like people that have died in his
one
life.
Minute,
he meets
one
his
minute,
father,
one minute.
Senior frog, you know, Mr. Frog, Senior Frog. Who's his Virgil?
I don't know.
Is it like a spiritual like dragonfly that like goes around? Like he can't eat him, but
I like it
I mean?
Being a fly.
Yeah,
yes.
I like a fly that he would normally
it's
eat.
A fly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So all right. To wrap it up, we got 30 seconds for an elevator pitch. Okay. So Frogger's running across the road to get home to take his money to go live a life in the city instead of moving into the swamp with his old lady. But his four friends shove him across the road and they get run over. Now they're going for his money. So now he's gonna go through hell itself, the seven layers of frog hell, including dry skin and messing and eating tadpoles, being led by a fly who's kind of like his Jiminy Cricket, like his conscience. And as he comes back out the other side, he's going to realize there's no place like home. He's going to chase off those bad guys and save the day and move to the swamp.
That's Frogger. All right. Clear your minds, ladies and gentlemen. Clear your minds.
I don't even remember what we just did.
Clear your minds. We're moving on to a surprise hit from 1982, where the protagonist had to build hamburgers across multiple levels while being pursued. Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing Burger Time.
Burger
the clock
time.
Starts now.
Ready, explain Burger Time really quick.
Burger Time is a game. It's a little bit like a Donkey Kong kind of thing where you had multiple levels and you had ladders. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to run across giant hamburger pieces to drop them into these trays at the bottom of the screen in order to make burgers.
So this is like, what is it, the borrowers at Secret World of Arrietta? I feel like it's a very tiny person. Kind of Ratatouille-esque, a very tiny person. Because if you're going to do it based off the graphics, it is definitely this person.
Oh, yeah, this person
is the size of hamburger patties.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of Root Beer Tapper. No.
Root Beer Tapper is in the same vein of arcade games that require, like, cooking and, like, creation of food, but Burger Time.
Okay, so yes, it's a tiny little, yes, if you look at the art, it's a tiny little, imagine a tiny slider-sized
imagine
chef.
Four burgers on the edge of a cliff.
So this is called Burger Time?
The Burger Time chef falls through a parallel dimension, and it's called Burger Time Sliders. No, I'm just kidding. JK, that's a free one. That's a freebie. Okay.
No. All right, Secret World of Arrietty is not a bad sort of, yeah, not a bad
Or Batman. Or is it a curse? Or does this person, or does this famous arrogant chef
get shrunk down
to size?
Oh,
you're too big for your britches, buddy. And then they get shrunk down to size. And then he's going to give up at first because he's had it easy. He's had his whole life easy, as you do. You do like a privileged like super chef who's had everything handed to him. And when he first gets shrunk down, he's going to give up. But they're like, you can overcome this.
So, okay. So he's a burger. He's a world famous burger chef.
You know, like Ronald McDonald.
Like a Ronald McDonald.
Or a Mr. Wendy's.
Mr.
Wendy's, yes.
Okay, so he's
Dave
like
a Thomas, you harlequin
okay.
You idiot.
Okay, it's like an undercover boss type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that it's like he's going to learn about, because he's like this burger magnate, right?
Yes.
That has, he's like the king of burgers. And then he's going to get, through a freak accident, shrunk for some reason, which we'll figure out. Oh, because they're doing new mini burgers.
Oh, it's like lab-grown meats. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, you do, like, in the sort of Skunk Works R&D division of Burger Time Burgers, they're working on miniature burgers, right? Or, like, they're like, we're going to shrink the burgers, and it'll save on shipping. Then we'll just resize them when they get to the restaurants, right? And then, so you do a freak accident, he gets shrunk instead of the burgers.
Yes.
These burgers are going to
replace, yes, because
it's going to save the world. These burgers are going to save the world because they're doing this big worldwide international thing where all the sort of like magnates of industry are coming to try these burgers out because this is the big pitch for the company. Right?
Now he sounds like a hero.
Oh.
If he's a man who's made a burger that's going to save the world.
This is about the money.
This
friend,
is about
the
money
profit,
and getting rid of employees.
Juice. Maybe he started out for the right reasons in the burger industry, but now it's time for him to remember
why he got into burgers in the first place.
So that miniature food that doesn't grow big doesn't actually save the world. I feel like actually these burgers take like five times the number of resources for some reason, but are still going to make him personally more money.
Oh, interesting. Okay,
I like that
okay.
They're shrunk down burgers.
Yeah.
And then that's how he gets shrunk.
Yes.
So what's his adventure now? Like, that's his problem.
Well, I thought when you were saying that it was like a secret boss was going to be like, he comes in and pretends to be like the burger chef, and he's getting ready to fire everybody on camera. He's going to be like, oh yeah, this is going to be, and then he gets shrunk down, and it's kind of like that Frasier episode where he's judgmental of everybody on Christmas Eve, and then everybody and all the homeless people and like people that are like alone on Christmas Eve all end up being really nice to him. Mm-hmm. It's like, even though he's shrunk down, all these guys are like, he's like, well, I guess like if he was pretending to be the head chef at this restaurant as a secret boss and he gets shrunk down, everybody's response is actually like, don't worry, buddy, we all got tough days. Like, even though you're 4 inches tall, we're still going to work for you and figure things out or whatever. And then he's like inspired by everybody, but I don't know what that.
Yeah. Well, I like, okay, so it's like a fall from grace type story. It's like, you know, and he's going to work his way up from the bottom.
Yeah.
And
then when he gets large again, finally they're like, wait a second, you're Dave Thomas.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh shit, I guess we're fired. He's like, no, you all get raises.
Just like everyone else in my company.
Just you guys. You guys helped me. Everybody
you guys are all corporate CEOs now. We are going to have to slash several thousand jobs to pay for these salaries. Okay, that's all fun. That's all fun. I'm trying to, like, why does he have to run around making giant burgers? That's what I'm kind of missing right now. Like, the if I'm the video game executive, I'm like, this needs more giant burgers. How much time do we have, Freddie?
We are about 3-4 minutes in, so we got about 6 minutes left.
Okay. If it was okay. This is gonna be my attempt to solve. It's essentially Burger Solvin Travels meets Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Okay.
So it's a guy who's like, the profits are down, and all he wants to do is find a way to make money. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like the spoiled, he's like the new kid, he's like the new CEO. His dad died recently. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm gonna find out how these lazy workers actually do things. Like, sir, we've given you reports. Like, I gotta go on the ground floor and see what it's really like. So he disguises himself and he goes to work at, like, you know, one of the problem restaurants or whatever it is.
Okay.
And you do the problem at the restaurant, it's like, it's this Burger Time is struggling. There's like, mm-hmm, a new mall that's opened up or whatever it is. That's like, right, the corporate world is destroying these small burger places. And he's the new boss, and he's come in, he pretends to be the new boss, and then yes, he gets shrunk down in size for some reason.
Okay, so you would, okay, maybe, because
right, then what you do is this, he's, is because the low point would be, he's, even though he's gonna get big the next day, like, he's gonna get, he's, because even though he's been making burgers and running the place well, he's too small to eat those burgers, so he still doesn't taste any burgers along the way. And what happens is his head chef, like the guy, like his, like, sidekick or whatever, like, mm-hmm, the friends on the train in Sullivan's Travels, it's like before his final day as boss, because he finds out that he's actually the boss, he cooks him a very tiny burger so he can taste it. And he takes a bite, and after a tough day, he's like, you know what? These burgers are goddamn delicious. What you guys do, this isn't about money. This is about sometimes you just need a good old piece of beef between two patties.
That's why my dad got into this business.
That's why my dad got this business anyways.
Well, he has a flashback to, is a Ratatouille flashback to his dad flipping up burgers at home when he was working on the recipe. It was always about...
Oh, what you find out is the reason this restaurant is doing worse, mm-hmm, is because this chef's actually he's spending more money. He's not cooking the burgers like everybody else at McDonald's does. He puts some extra love in those burgers so they taste better. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's not about tasting, but it's about the bottom line. God damn it. Your restaurant's like 20% less margins than everybody else. And mm-hmm, that's what he finds out. And then he uncovers that at the end. And he tells them, like, we're going to fire everybody. He's like, I understand, you know, you're the boss. I the guy's really understanding. He's like, you're the kid. You're just trying to live up to your father's legacy. It is what it is. Before you go, though, I want you to taste one of my burgers. And he cooks him a tiny burger. He tastes like, my God, this is the sort of burger
Okay. We got to, it's all very interesting. We got to just.
4 minutes.
Okay. We got to bring in the theme a little bit to the plot. Okay. So he's the son of the CEO.
Yes.
And the old man just died, right? And so he's got the keys to the kingdom, but he's like, again, like, you know, everyone's like, oh, he's not as good as his old pops was, mm-hmm, right? And he's like, I got to get on the ground floor. I got to understand what's going on. And why are my restaurants struggling, right? Yes. And then he goes on the ground floor to be like undercover at a failing Burger Time.
Yes.
And then you would do like, all right, like there's some sort of shrinking machine for a novelty thing that they make, right? Yeah. Like tiny ice cream cones or you know, like, and again, they're like
the Dippin' Dots of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they shrink, or maybe they shrink the burgers before they send them out so people have to buy more of them.
Yes, that's good.
Instead
of making smaller.
Yeah, this is what they do. They make it and they're like, you know that like a quarter pounder will cook down to quite less than that. Well, guess what? With this new technology, we can go even further. And this is to go even further beyond. You know what's great about that is that you can be like, you know what? We could come up with new sliders. We could come, you know, cut new bread, that stuff. Or we could use a shrink ray and make sliders with that. But the problem is the setting gets cranked way too high. That's what it
was. Well, he falls into it somehow.
Yeah.
Like, and he gets shrunk down real tiny, right? And
you could also make a classic where they were actually, this machine was going to be to cook tiny patties and then it was going to expand them and make them larger, but the machine gets reversed.
Someone flips the switch.
The company would be like, take the same amount of ingredients and then expand it to be larger.
Okay, so they've got a machine that turns tiny burgers into big burgers.
Nice.
But then wait. Okay, now I'm confused. Now I'm confused because he's clearly building big sized burgers.
No, he gets shrunk.
I know. But like, if they have this machine that takes tiny burgers and makes them big burgers, then when he gets shrunk, wouldn't he be making tiny burgers?
He gets shrunk a lot.
He gets shrunk.
Yeah, he gets both the polarity and intensity. Like, he literally, he trips over the switch and it's like, polarity, reverse.
What you're postulating is that when someone plays Burger Time, they are in fact playing a very tiny man making very...
slightly smaller burgers.
I think we need to get rid of the science fact of this, and it would be more like
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
This, I think the way he gets small would be something like the head chef of this place realizes that he's the boss undercover, mm-hmm. and he's like, "You're gonna fire all these good people. Like, you know what, sir? You know what, son? You're too big for your britches," or something. Mm-hmm. And it'd be like, I don't know. It'd be like he doesn't get all the way home, or he like sleeps in a shed instead, and he wakes up and he's too big for it. Like, I don't know. I think it's just like a magical.
I like to stick with the shrinking machine. I'm telling you, the shrinking machine. Just bear with me. Bear with me.
Bear with me.
Okay,
key to everything.
2 minutes. We got 2 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. So you do. He's the guy. He wants to figure out why the restaurants aren't doing well, right? Yes. He goes to investigate. There's a shrinking machine because they make. It's this. It's one of the dumb novelties that brings people in now, right? And they're like, it's great because people like to see their food shrink. And
people like small
shit. They're paying more money for less food. It's terrific, right? So they shrink the ice cream cones, and then you can have a tiny ice cream cone with your meal. And it's like wacky or whatever. He falls into the shrinking machine. He's tiny. He has this alternate identity now as like a working class Joe, and they're like, his boss at the thing is an assistant manager. He's a fucking hard ass. He's like, I don't care if you're 4 inches tall. You still got to make 50 burgers a day, my dude. Like, that's how it goes to make your minimum wage pay. And so now he's
minimum wage.
He's his minimum wage. He gets even less money now. They through a loophole, he only makes a nickel an hour because
it's like you're 12th the size of a man. You get 12th the paycheck. He's like, damn it.
So now he's busting.
I guess you could call a little bit of corporate downsizing.
I'm just trying to think of the moment where like they hand him his pay and it's a quarter, and he's like this tiny man holding his giant quarter.
That's very funny, Matt. Okay. I do want to pause just to recognize Freddie's very good corporate downsizing joke.
I heard it.
So now he's working his buns off.
Hey.
And as he's working, he is discovering why the restaurants aren't doing well. And it's not because there's an overabundance of love. It's that there's no love in the burgers anymore. You know, he from the other working Joes who are working the assembly line and the working Janes, he's learning from them that, you know, man, this place just sucks to work.
Seconds.
And like, we don't put any care and craft into our thing anymore.
It's because
right?
he doesn't put, it starts from the top. If he doesn't put love and craft, if he doesn't care about burgers.
He's the one who cut back on the safety standards that allowed him to have this wacky pratfall to begin with, right?
Yep. Yep.
So now everyone's searching for the CEO. There's a new guy who's gonna, like, you know, it's like power behind the throne. Someone's taking over the company. He's gotta figure out how to reverse the
and, and by the way, the guy's gonna take it away from his family who's had it.
Your relationship story is there's a kid working at the burger place who's trying to put themselves through MIT. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Just a classic, you know, classic all-American story, and then he's gotta team up with this person to help reverse the shrink ray, and then he learns about hard work and good values, and he comes back, and you have that last scene where the guy's about to sign the paper and get into the boardroom, and he goes, stop, and they're like, oh, he's back, you know, like the...
Well, it'd be like, and why is this MIT kid, of all the things he could be doing, working at a burger place?
Because his $2 family less, loves burgers.
Because he loves burgers. Because he remembers burgers. The first time he ate a Dave Thomas burger when he was 10 years old, and he wants, and he wishes he could make burgers like that again, and he re-inspires the CEO's love of burgers, and everybody gets pay raises, and it's a happy ending.
And it's a happy capitalism story.
Yep.
Burger
Ding
time!
Burger time. All right, folks. Late. Okay, cool. Very good. Very good. Clear your minds. Take a deep breath. Coming up here, the 1985 classic from Atari, which featured a novelty bicycle handlebar control, which was a modified Star Wars joke.
Oh,
we're doing
Paperboy. Paperboy. Okay.
It's all about that Paperboy.
Dude, a lot of those games back in the 80s were about that grift, dude. They're
that
about
grind.
That,
that working class grift and grind, now that I think about it. Or just... like, you know, killing, like, space aliens. But,
this,
you know, that too.
I'm just going to blurt something out. I feel like this is Wolf of Wall Street with a 12-year-old.
Okay. This is good. The one thing I do want to make sure, because if I remember, Paperboy is fucking weird.
It's weird, yes,
correct.
Because
it's not just,
it's
like, the
weird.
Normal... Aren't there, like, aliens and stuff in there?
So, you are doing this weird thing where, yes, you're trying to throw stuff, but you can also be so destructive. Because, yes, there's a lot of hazards, but there's also, like, you can blow so many windows, and you have basically, it's a week. The game lasts for 7 in-game days, Monday through Sunday, right?
And you're a paper boy on a route delivering, you're trying to throw papers into people's mailboxes.
Subscribers and non-subscribers' homes, correct.
I just remember, I swear it gets, like, weird, but the only thing I was
there's always, I remember, I had the Game Boy version, which I could never get past the first level on as a kid, and there was, like, a skate park at the end that you would ride your bike through.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe it's not Wolf of Wall Street, maybe it's, like, what was that, Premium Rush? The
correct.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie, where he's on the bike, like, it's, like, the, all right, what do you feel when you hear the word Paperboy, right? Other than the Zac Efron movie.
To Freddie's point of destruction, I do feel like whenever I thought of Paperboy, I thought of, like, the fun... like the chuckle you got when you like
through the window,
just
through the
window, or like hit somebody.
And there's
or
always
whatever.
An angry old lady or like a fucking cat that would chase after
and you're like,
you.
Yeah. And like, even though the animation doesn't do it, I just imagine he flicks them off.
Yeah,
like,
so Matt, you are correct. You are correct. There are a number of obstacles that are weird. So for example, fire hydrants, storm drains, not weird. Break dancers. It's the 80s after all. Cars, skateboarders, drunks, kids with RC cars, a tornado, oversized house cats, and the Grim Reaper himself.
Grim Reaper, that's what I was
Death
thinking.
Himself would
Death
show up.
Death himself shows up.
Okay.
Okay.
Is so this it's like one wild summer in Chicago in 1986.
One week. Yeah, it's 1 week or
heat
something.
There's a heat wave in town.
I definitely weirdly feel like, I guess for me personally, it's like the little weird venue, because it was one of the first games where I feel like it had a really fun, like almost diorama view of modern day life.
Yeah,
like a lot of games are like side-scrolling, but like it was 3D, and it was just like seeing people walk around and like, yeah, kids on skateboards and drunks and like smashing windows. It felt like you're in this like little mini, slightly hyper-stylized your own life, but weirder. So like that's why I was saying.
All right, and I like that we're going to follow a paper boy over a week. I think that's fun. And you even do like Monday, Tuesday, like you can title card them out. I think
this paper boy finds out he's got 7 days to live because he's got a very rare leukemia.
Now here's what here's the end game.
I like 7 days to live.
7 days to live. Dealing with death is interesting. Right?
Death is in the game.
So dealing with that very quickly. Just so you know, in the game, not that we have to follow it, but the Sunday edition, the Sunday day is the hardest day. And if you win, you will get a headline on the paper itself. Paperboy wins award for outstanding paper delivery with you holding a trophy, which, you know, whether or not they want that.
Paperboy cheats death.
Cheap, yeah. If you lose, it says Paperboy calls it quits.
Oh.
So it's like, I love that winning this game is you can keep your menial, like...
Your menial work.
Hey,
yeah,
man,
job.
You're a paper boy, dude. Job. Okay. Okay. All right. What if it's an early edition type twist and he gets tomorrow's paper? Or he gets, he gets a paper delivered to him. And it says, news, you have 7 days to live. Someone in this town is going to murder me. He's going to deliver his route while trying to figure out who's going to kill him on Sunday. But, okay, but what about that, though? Like, he thinks he's going to get murdered.
Yes.
By
in
someone.
7 days.
And he's got 7 days. Like, he keeps getting these threatening notes every night, right? Yeah. Like, you got 7 days. And again, it's always like this, like, newspaper paper headline, right? So it's like, who is trying to kill me? Is it the old lady who I threw the newspaper through her window? Is it the guy whose cat I ran over on my bike? Is it the other paper boy whose route I stole? You know, like, is it, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm trying to figure out.
It's like a noir. Like, it's like a little mini suburban noir. And like, what does the paper boy see as he's pedaling through the window? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it's like a Rear window type of thing where it's like.
Okay, this I could see. Because I think you want it to be that I want the paper route itself to be like the story, like not just like the guy happens to be a paper boy and then he's investigating his own death. Mm-hmm. Like, is it like this? Is it he gets a message like, I'm going to kill you on your paper route or something like that? So like every paper route that you follow to be like its own adventure. Like he's doing it waiting and trying to avoid death itself. Like, I just feel like you need the paper route to be like the core, like.
And by the way, that's the way that you do difficulty levels in the game, is that there's three decisions. You have to either choose easy street, middle road, or the hard way.
If it was like a race car driver.
The hard way.
If it was a race car driver, it'd be like Stallone, and they're like, 4 more races, and I'm going to be the best race car driver in the world. You can't do it. Somebody said they're going to kill you on the track. Like, I don't give a shit. I'm racing every day.
Can I throw another wrench in the works here?
Yeah.
Another paper at the front window.
What if you do that there is a serial killer who's killing paper boys.
Okay, I like that.
And then he's picking them off one by one, right?
And by the way, it's the newspaper. It's like, we're losing our paper boys. We can't get the news to the people.
Our subscriptions are down. You're like, we can't do it. It's causing this huge problem, and they're paying out major bucks to anyone who's willing to cheat death.
That's why every day it's harder, because more and more paper boys are getting killed, so the route's getting longer and more difficult, because he's got to fill in other people's routes.
Yeah, that's really good.
And then
by the end,
all the paper boys have been murdered or quit, and the last day the Sunday edition is like, it's like, you're the only paper boy left.
All right, so something's been bugging me, which is I don't want to just, I feel like 80s games are all very dude bro centric, we don't have a girl character yet. So what I was going to say is, you do that, your main character, your opening sequence is, we're following the classic paper boy game. Paper boy gets fucking murked at the end of it
by a murderer who looks like death.
Yes. And then his little sister takes up his route
because
they've got to pay for the, they got a sick mom at home.
So she's
taking up her brother's old route, and meanwhile, she's trying to crack the mystery before she gets killed next.
And she can't give up this job because she needs the money.
You know what's in the Sunday paper, though? the identity of the killer. They they blew it wide open. They figured it out. The investigative journalist at the Daily Whatever figured out who the killer is. And she's like, I have to get this news out to the people.
she's just like, oh, this person's the killer.
Or it's the political whatever. It's like, it's the thing that blows everything wide open. So it's like, it's an important paper that must be delivered, right? It's like, it's about the need for journalism to act as that fourth estate.
Breaking news, the killer was her. And now everyone in town knows it, and her last route is the route to escape. That's stupid. How are we doing on time?
7 minutes. We have 3 minutes left.
Oh shit! Okay, we just really chewed through that one.
Yeah,
okay.
But I feel like I like that though. I like you start with Paperboy. All of our stories are gonna start with the thing like Frogger dies and then Paperboy dies. But yes, it is, and then Death comes and gets Paperboy, and then you realize like there's a killer out there who looks like Death who's wandering around and killing Paperboys while they're on their route.
Yes.
And then this girl takes the route up because she needs the money.
Yeah.
And then even as more Paperboys are either quitting or getting killed, every day she's doing more and more because also it's like more money for her.
Yeah.
But it's more and more dangerous. And she has that, like, yes, you would have, like, then she starts, she wants to start investigating.
She wants to solve the mystery.
And her parents are like, you need to stop this. And she's like, I can't, Dad, you're sick. I need the money to pay your bills because, you know, ACA or something will do some political, you know, John Q type story.
Secretly, she's doing it because she's always been in her older brother's shadow.
Yes.
And she likes the thrill. She likes the rush. She likes the attention. It's kind of like, not the attention. She likes the, but you know, it's like in a ski free, right?
No, it's an adrenaline rush.
The danger.
She realizes she loves it.
Yeah. And she's the best, right? Yeah. Like, you know, like,
Death is a paper boy who, at the end of the day, not even the paper route could satisfy his intense adrenaline rush. And the only adrenaline rush was Death was murdering.
Okay.
It's
so
like Scream.
I would imagine along the way, you're getting the suspects, right?
Yes.
Like, so you would do that, like, the who are your suspects that, you know, okay, so I think, yes, obviously, rival paper boy, like, rival newspaper would be number one, right? Like, someone's taking out the competition.
Old ladies that come out and scream and have had their windows broken.
Yeah, there's like, you know, like, there's a creepy old lady who hates paper boys, right?
The RC car kids, the paper boy ran over their RC car.
Yeah, so, you know, she's finding out that the paper boys have been, like, again, because she's being inducted into this world of paper boys, and she's also finding out these kids have just been hooligans, right? Like, all these sins that are being visited upon them, they kind of deserve, right? Because they just act as impunity as the messengers and the arbiters of the news.
She's like, wait, so you get more money if you put them in the mailbox, but you purposely aim for the window? It's like, yeah, it's rad when you do that. Then the window breaks.
Okay, so who's the murderer?
30 seconds to figure it out.
Here's what all right. It's her brother.
He faked his death.
Yeah, okay. He's because he wanted to save the family. Because he was like, if Paperboy start dying, you'll be able to make more money, right? So then you would do, so he started killing people, then he got too high, and so then he faked his death, and then now he's picking off the competition. He's been watching over his sister this whole time. She's been trying to get out from under his shadow, and she still can't.
And then she's like, how could you do this? He's like, tell me the truth. How much money have you made? Aren't we paying for Dad's medical bills? And she's like, damn, if only we had universal health care.
I was going to say, the last run is she's going to blow the whistle on him, so then she is... She's being chased by Death, and she's got to get back to the news because she discovers it right before her last day's grind. So she's got to escape to get to the cops or something like that.
Damn, and that's a dark ending.
She takes down her brother, right?
Yeah, she's got to put her little brother in like life in prison.
And then she
now
learns a valuable lesson about, you know,
shitty little brothers,
about shitty older brothers.
the end.
Paperboy.
Clear your minds. Here comes number.
How many more of these do we have?
Two more. All right. In 1982, this Nintendo sequel was the first to use Mario, the only time Nintendo's mascot was featured as an antagonist. That's right, not Donkey Kong.
Yep.
Donkey Kong Jr.
Okay. Oh, shit. Donkey Kong Jr.
You ever play this, Will?
No, I've never.
It's very similar to Donkey Kong, but yes, it is Mario has trapped Donkey Kong.
Oh.
And then Donkey Kong Jr. is trying to save... So, in like gameplay-wise, if Mario is a jumper, Donkey Kong Jr. is more like a swinger. So, it's a lot of like going from rope to rope and avoiding, you know, I don't know, I guess Mario's evil minions or whatever it is.
I can't believe I've never heard of this.
Oh, it's class. This game is better than Donkey Kong.
It is a better game than Donkey Kong.
What I like, okay, if you were to take this, oh, it's tough. Is it in the Mushroom Kingdom or like Donkey? Because there's a world where it's like straight up Mario just came into Donkey Kong's home.
Oh, it's like Straw Dogs with Mario?
Yeah. Like a guy came in and captured the king of the jungle, the king of their own kingdom, and the son's got to come. The son who was never good enough to take the throne.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Simba type story. story.
Yeah.
It comes back and is going to save his father and save the kingdom.
Donkey Kong, I think, yes, King of the Jungle, Donkey Kong, gets captured by
Mario,
his arch rival Mario, right? And then, yes, his son is going to go rescue him, right?
Yes.
And then maybe it's like a Sins of the Father type thing where, like, along the way,
This is a sequel, so, like, Donkey Kong did do some shit.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong did show up and start smashing Mario City.
Yeah, it's true. Is this revenge? Yeah.
So, like, is Mario...
But why did Donkey Kong go to Mario Kingdom to get Peach?
Okay.
It's so complex.
What's going on here?
Montagues and Capulets.
And it's weird. It's not like Mario's doing anything. Mario just seems to be more doing it because he can. He's like,
exerting his power.
He's just exerting his power. Shit. Okay, this is a little tougher one, Freddy.
This is a spicy boy.
Okay. The Donkey Kong Jr., also called Simply Jr., tries to rescue his father, Donkey Kong, who has been imprisoned. Is guarded by Mario. Donkey Kong must rescue his father by working his way through a series of four screens. Mario attempts to stop Donkey Kong Jr. by releasing animals and putting obstacles in his way.
Mario's kind of doing the whole Dr. Robotnik thing, right? Like capturing all the animals of the
forest.
No,
he's using the animals, which maybe implies that, like, Donkey Kong wasn't the best king. I don't know. That's pretty much what happens. Okay.
Okay. So other animals are
helping Mario.
Okay, but maybe that's part of the mystery. It's like, why are the animals turning against Donkey Kong?
Yeah.
And like, but maybe it is like Mario's up to no good. Maybe Mario is the bad guy this time.
I think Mario's the bad guy.
You have to make him the bad guy. Okay. Yeah. You have to.
All right. Yeah, I don't think you want to do Donkey Kong deserved it. Fuck that. Like it's not a fun movie.
No.
It's almost like it's like Apocalypto, where like he's running home, he's running to save his family or whatever.
Yeah, doesn't it feel a little bit like it would be? Because that's more like he's got to, because that would be more like if Donkey Kong Jr. was stuck in a hole with rising water,
yeah,
and then Donkey Kong played by Mel Gibson has to
directed by Mel Gibson's not in
Apocalypse. That's right. has to escape the evil Mario.
Even Mel Gibson, I think, realized it would not have been good for him to play.
You know that
Mel
Gibson was originally casted as the main character of Apocalypto, and then the director Mel Gibson was like, maybe this is a bad idea.
All right. Okay, so. Seems like
that's what I was going with, not to just do Lion King exactly, but it feels like Junior, who's clearly, it feels like somebody who tries to live up to their father.
Yes.
You would have to do this thing where he's got a struggling relationship with his dad, and then here's a chance for him to prove himself, right? Like, if he was told, like, you're not ready to be king, like, this is a chance for him to prove that he can be king. I mean,
I like that.
I'm just sorry. It's the Simba. It's like this.
Could you do this turn where, like, because I feel like it's also like this, like, King of the Jungle. This is nothing. I feel like there's this very much like the King of the Jungle ideas. Like this, very much something that's like a very human interpretation of the animal kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Could you do that? Like, the twist is that Donkey Kong isn't a king, and Junior just thinks he's a king, right? Like, imagine like fucking like Junior's going around. And he's like, hey, my dad's King of the Jungle. You got to save me. They're like, your dad is an asshole. Like, I don't like, he's just, we're all, there's no king. It's just a jungle,
it's
dude.
It's a jungle.
Like,
it's literally, yeah. Actually, how come the jungle's used metaphorically to express, like, it's a jungle out there? Like, there's no rules and there's no leaders.
But there's also apparently
the
king
of the jungle, which is, okay.
But I guess that's the idea, because it's like, it's no rules. So if you're the guy who can, like, be in charge of the no rule place, then you're pretty cool.
Pretty cool. His dad runs a burger place.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So far we've got nothing.
Let's
talk about Junior.
I feel like we got to do. I think he's King of the Jungle, and Mario's coming and taking the King of the Jungle.
Yes. Okay. Like. So my three questions. One, what's Junior's deal? Who's he going on this adventure with? And why is Mario kidnapping his dad?
Okay.
Maybe he's like, okay, all right, I'll shoot from the hip on this one. Mario's arresting Donkey Kong.
Yeah, for his crimes.
For
the
his
Mushroom
crimes
Kingdom.
In the Mushroom Kingdom. And,
Okay, you broke this thing wide open, Will. Here's what it is. Donkey Kong is like, you're going to be the King of the Jungle. And Donkey Kong Jr. is like, no, Dad, I told you, I want to go be a lawyer. And he's going to...
I'm interested.
He's going to run up. And then Mario, and he's like, and he's ashamed. He's like, you're such a beta, dude, man. You want to go be a lawyer? Like, go be a King of the Jungle with me. Like, we run this place. Like, Dad, don't you understand? Like, justice matters. And it's like, hell no. You know what your dad does for fun? He goes and he takes Princess Peach. I'm super rad. He's like, Dad, I wish we could just come together sometime. I wish, like, we could see each other's point of views. And he's like, God, you're such a liberal cuck. And then you do Mario comes back for then Mario comes back as a raging lunatic who's not satisfied because he's not having a good home life with Peach anymore. She's like, why did you save me sooner? And he's like, and Mario's feeling like a beta cuck too.
We're getting a real peek into this other side of Matt's psyche here.
So then Mario comes to trap Donkey Kong. Mm-hmm. And Donkey Kong Jr. is going to save him because the back half of it is going to be a courtroom drama.
I don't know about all this red pill shit you just laid down, but like...
No, this is going to be an anti-red pill movie because it's going to be Donkey Kong Jr. is going to use his intellect and humanity to save his dad. And like, he's going to come up with like, it's going to be justice in the end. Like, he's like, Dad, you did wrong. Mario did wrong. You two need to apologize. And maybe if you look into each other's eyes, you realize like, maybe you two are the people who care about each other the most. And it ends with Donkey Kong and Mario hugging and crying and everybody's like, see...
And that's the stage for all of their future collaborations on the tennis court, the go-kart track.
Okay, he makes them friends.
He brokers peace between the jungle and the Mushroom Kingdom.
Because he understands that these are just men who are just and lonely you call it, and they need to find a healthy form to express their emotions.
You call it To Kill a Donkey Bird.
To Kill a Donkey Kong.
Okay, all right. How much time do we have left?
Technically 30 seconds on this one.
Oh my God, we just really burnt out. Princess Peach is the other core character in this thing, right? Yeah. And I think you do that Princess... Oh, I got it. Princess Peach is fucking fed up of... I always think of that Princess Peach in that context of when they say that, like, in the game of patriarchy, women aren't a team, they're the ball that gets kicked around between the two teams. Yeah. So that's, again, I think it's actually from Anita Sarkeesian's video on Princess Peach, is that like she is like this damsel that is constantly kicked around back and forth, essentially. So I think you would do Princess Peach has gone missing, right? Mm-hmm. And Mario's like, it's fucking DK, he's got her fucking hidden somewhere. So he arrests Donkey Kong as, you know, sort of like officer of the law of the Mushroom
Vigilante.
Kingdom. And so
judge,
starts off,
jury, and executioner.
Okay, so it starts off with DK Jr. being like, I gotta get my dad off for this. He didn't do it. Like, he's actually innocent this time. I don't get along with him. This is my chance to prove to him that I'm a good lawyer, right? So now he's swinging through the Mushroom Kingdom on his vines, trying to build a case. Halfway through, he discovers that Princess Peach just ditched. She's like, fuck this.
Well,
like,
yeah, I would do that during court.
Guys, huh?
Yes, I would do that the reveal.
She becomes his surprise witness in the case.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so then it's about him and Princess Peach trying to find a new way for there to be peace between Mario and Donkey Kong.
I'm very happy to give Princess Peach the, like the realization, like, no, she just left you. But I feel like she shows up as a surprise witness. I feel like this is Donkey Kong Jr. is the titular character of the thing. I think this is about a lawyer boy proving to his macho man and equally
macho. So he's got to uncover what the beef between his dad and Donkey Kong is.
Yes.
Like, why? But again, like, you always come down to this question, why is Princess Peach getting kidnapped?
Yes.
Right? Why did she get kidnapped? So he's going to figure that out.
Yes.
I do think he runs into her at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think you would do that. He's got to convince her to testify. Well, I don't know what you mean, whatever. Right?
Mario,
she testifies against Mario.
Mario realizes that he's just a horrible man, either husband or boyfriend or whatever they were, and it's his fault that she left, and she's going to go. She's her own person, and she's... Again, I love what they do in Odyssey. She's just gone off to do what she's always wanted to do, which is photograph shit and what, you know, her life goal. And and really, he was just looking for somebody to connect with. And he went to his enemy because he's got all this, again, toxic masculinity going on. And Donkey Kong Jr. is going to, you know... They're both going
to
get some...
The new generation is going to fix the problems of the old.
Yes.
Oh, you do? Okay, here's what you do. The core relationship is he keeps getting contacted by this mysterious informant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to figure out who it is that's leading him, you know, to this evidence to exonerate DK, but, like, you know, seems to have their own motive going on. He's like, who the fuck is it? And, of course, it's Princess Peach, and that's what he figures out. And then she becomes the surprise witness in the trial, and then there's peace between the kingdoms somehow. Giving me a break is 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And the theme ultimately is that men need to take responsibility for fixing problems with patriarchy.
Okay. Donkey Kong Jr. Smash the patriarchy. All right, folks. The last one here. Take a deep breath. Last one. You can see the finish line around the corner. One of the most popular games of all time, 1981, Midway Namco. Originally... off of a bootleg hack of the more well-known namesake. That's right. Different mazes, faster speed, rewards, fruit rewards, Ms. Pac-Man.
Hell yeah!
Ms. Pac-Man, baby.
Ms.
Let's hit it.
Friggin' Pac-Man.
Okay. Pac-Man. Okay, what's
okay,
up?
So it feels like it has to be a metaphor for something, right? Because Pac-Man is like you're running around the maze, you're eating, right? The joke is like you're eating pills and like, ghosts are chasing you. It's like it's drugs. It's a drug metaphor almost.
Ooh.
Actually, according to the creator of the game, it is a metaphor for hunger. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, you think?
Oh, shit, maybe he was being sly about that.
No, what's crazy? Okay, so here's the crazy story of Pac-Man, is that the game designer was like, I want to design a game that women will play, like that will be appealing for women. And you're like, oh, good for you. And he's like, what do women like to do? Well, they like to eat, am I right? And then he did a game called Pac-Man about eating.
For those that don't know, Pac-Man, you play like a pizza slice. Full pizza with a slice missing. You play just a big mouth, and you go around a maze eating little pills. But then if you eat a big pill, you can consume these
ghosts that are chasing.
And yes, there are ghosts that are sitting in the middle of the maze in like a trapped in like a home or a cage, and they come out every once in a while and try to kill you.
Well, but see, I like the metaphor there is like it's your past, it's the ghosts of the people you have wronged or whatever, right, chasing you, and the idea that like. Consuming substances is what keeps them at bay.
It is.
Right? That metaphor is in there.
It is very, I will say this, it's Pac-Man is almost like a game Franz Kafka would design. Mm-hmm. Like, it is like, again, like, having just watched the Orson Welles version of The Trial, like, it is very abstract and weird and, like, is bureaucracy as a maze and this guy wandering around not in search of a, not even knowing what crime he's been accused of. Like, the idea that, because, like, the first thing I was like, what is Andrei Tarkovsky's Pac-Man? Like, I feel like it is an abstract game, and I feel like this is an art house movie.
Like, I feel like Darren Aronofsky would do Freddy's version. It's like this, like, person chasing like fountain drugs.
Yeah,
like, trying to find a solution, but... And, you know, if they get, like, yes, the ghosts of their past are always haunting them and they're running from it.
Okay.
And every once in a while they can consume enough to destroy it for a moment. But that safety is fleeting because the ghosts just come back.
Yep.
Like, you never kill all four ghosts.
You can't kill ghosts.
When you kill them,
man.
they just blink their eyes and they go back to their home or essentially your deep psyche and they regrow.
They
and
reemerge
strong
faster,
and they
stronger, yes, and more invincible.
You're running faster. It's like a Gaspar Noé movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's like, into the void or something like that. Okay. And then I think, by the way, because this is also the story of Miss Pac-Man is her meeting Pac-Man and falling in love. And then I think they have a kid.
Yes,
like,
they do.
They get married and have a kid, and then a stork brings them a child. So I wonder if that's almost like you do these like flashback sequences, like of her relationship with, because that's like, you know, like people always kind of think you're like, oh, is this, you know, like this is the story between the game, but it's like, maybe it's like she's, okay, like maybe she's like a, this is a bummer. I was like, maybe it's like a story about drug addiction, like Trainspotting or something like that. Like the, okay, all right. It's the Hours meets Pac-Man. Bear with me. She meets Pac-Man. They fall in love. They get married. They have a kid. He goes off to, you know, it's like the 1950s. or whatever, okay. And it's like the he's, you know, like she's at home and then she's like, you know, taking like methamphetamines basically to keep up with like the demands of being a housewife, and she's, I don't know.
How about if it's like gender swapped Star Is Born, because you do Miss Pac-Man is this hip pop star called Miss Pac-Man, because it sounds like, I don't know, a pop star name.
Okay.
And it's a drug addiction movie.
Okay.
Spoilers for Star Is Born if you haven't seen any of the various versions, but I mean, it doesn't end well for
Bradley Cooper.
For Bradley Cooper. Again, if you're going to do the story of Pac-Man, like, you never beat Pac-Man. It eventually destroys you. So it would be that, and then the character, the Star Is Born character, is kind of like this chance to try to, you know, have a better life than what it was. But again, they're constantly, at the same time, like the rise of the new Pac-Man, of the new Star Is Born character of Bradley Cooper.
So her name is Miss Pac-Man, and yes. Then she has a meet cute with a guy who just happens to be named Pac-Man, is what you're saying.
Yes. Well, also Bradley Cooper. But yes, fine. She meets Pac-Man and she's like, I'll show you the ropes, kid. And it's like, this is a chance for her, like, to live a better life. But every single time, like right when he gets his first success, she has a flashback to her first success, which is when she, you know, she started taking drugs and having this addiction and whatnot, and then it ends with her suicide.
That sounds real, real dark.
Well, I mean, that's what you're going down.
How much time do we have, Freddy?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay,
Freddy, jump in there because you started with
you kicked us down this road with your weird fucking.
I'm just saying that I don't think.
Drama.
I mean, I just don't think that there's a way of doing this literally, because you're the enemies are ghosts. Already, we're in a metaphysical realm. And even, you know, just to look at Pac-Man as a whole, right, it's about consumption and it's about an unwinnable game, right? The way that you win this is you get all the way to the end and the game gets destroyed, right? It's the end of the universe and the game itself glitches out. That's, you hit the kill screen, right? So as a game, the idea of like being chased and being able to like hold back the bad guys briefly at the very least suggests to me something, you know, in the sense of like, you know, a man on the run, at least from the Pac-Man side of things, right? And I think the Ms. Pac-Man side of it's a little interesting twist on that, but fundamentally it's the same gameplay. It is,
yeah. You're chasing the high. If getting ultimately, up on, if getting up on stage and feeling alive for a second is taking that big pill and lets you ignore, bounce away the ghost for a second, it only lasts so long. Then you got to come home and go back to your trailer and go to bed and deal with the ghosts of the past.
Okay, here's what I would say then.
You eat fruit, which you know,
which is good.
All right,
which is good
I'm gonna zag a all right, little all
right,
bit.
All right.
Imagine that this is the kind of movie we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the oh, I got it. It's a just bear with me.
Okay.
You're going to groan for a second.
Okay.
And then you're going to be like, wait, he's right. Ms. Pac-Man is the metaphor in the movie. And then the movie is about, it's your Star Wars Born thing with two pro gamers in the 80s. And the game is Ms. Pac-Man, right? And then, but it's also this story about addiction and chasing the rush and all that other stuff and the rise and fall and all that. But then you have like that fucking monologue at the end where it's like, you know, it's like in Ms. Pac-Man when you're getting chased and you're just in that moment, but like you're always, you can't beat back the demons. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like, I'm not saying it's necessary.
No, yeah, I mean, I prefer if we're going to do Star Is Born, I prefer not to be about singing, but about video games. This is technically supposed to be a Ms. Pac-Man movie.
Because
what I would do is Ms. Pac-Man's the new game. I would do that because when did Ms. Pac-Man come out? It came near the farther end of, oh no, it didn't, 82. But let's say like this was a pro gamer who started like really early, like 1979. What?
Can I get it? Yeah. Okay, so I remember I was reading a book about arcade culture in the 80s when I was doing research for Polybius, the episode we did in Dimension 404. And I remember seeing this really poignant story about it was this kid and his best friend, and their whole thing was they were obsessed with asteroids. And there's a heyday of video games. This is essentially, oh, you know what? This whole thing is one movie, and we pull out of these stories into our last story, Ms. Pac-Man, which is about the kids who've been playing these video games, right? And so here's what you do, is that the story, as I remember, was about these two kids, and like their whole thing was they went to every Asteroids arcade machine in their hometown to try to get the top score on every single one of them to just kind of spread their dominance, right? So it's two kids who do that with Ms. Pac-Man. It's like these two gamers who meet each other, right? But the story is about an addiction and escapism for video games. It's like about that hit of video games and like what the problems you are running away from that you can never escape.
So this was a Twilight Zone. Yes, I like this. If this was a Twilight Zone movie, this would be Ms. Pac-Man is the rapper that you're cutting to in between these stories. You're following these kids, like right when they're done with the Paperboy movie or whatever.
Yeah.
These kids just played Paperboy and they're going on to their next game. But these kids have, you know, whatever, a boy and a girl or like brother and sister or whatever. They're having problems at home.
They have trouble at home and video games is their escape.
Is their
escape. Quarter at a
they
time.
Chase, they run away from their ghosts and they play their video
Those
games.
Those dots are quarters.
But yes, but they're going to have to face it at some point. I don't know what the end of that it would be like.
And it's like you get the power pill and it's this fleet when you're in the pocket, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like you're most of the time you're just pumping in quarters, right? But occasionally you're in the fucking pocket, right? And it's like when you get that power pill and it's all of a sudden you go from being this weak little kid who's being chased all over the earth by all of your problems to when you're playing this video game you feel alive, and for that moment you're Donkey Kong swinging through the jungle, you're Burger Time Man making burgers, and then but it's over and then you're back to that
grind.
I would do
it is a brother and sister, just so that it can also be, I don't know if you do this video game mythology, like video games suck and escape from reality sucks. I would do is this brother and sister, and what you find out and what you end up finding the story is that two parents were fighting and this brother and sister ran away because they couldn't take their parents fighting anymore.
Oh.
And the ghosts are their parents are in their cars panicking because their kids ran away and they're trying to find them. And the final thing would be they're playing Ms. Pac-Man. They finally can't avoid it anymore and the parents come in and they have a little, you know, they have their family breakdown or their talk, and then they're like, wait, what were you kids doing? They're like, hey, do you guys want to play? And like the family sits there and they play Ms. Pac-Man together.
Holy shit, there it is, man.
And you're like, oh.
And they're like, yeah. And you're like, man, this video game, like, you
sorry,
know.
Sorry, mom and dad were yelling, like, we have things to take care of, but we, you know, we love you. You know, and they're like, oh, what were you guys doing? It's like, we just want to play video games. And they're like, oh, you want to show us how to play?
You do. Okay, yes, that's exactly it. And here's what you do is that the two kids, like, I remember when I was a kid, my parents had this gigantic change jar in their bedroom where they would just put their loose change. There was just tons and tons of quarters in there. They stole the quarters on their way out of the house.
Yeah.
And they've been pumping them. They're just like, it's like, you know, like almost like a after hours or like, you know, before midnight or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like these two kids just going hog wild with these quarters, right? And they're going to just burn through them.
Yeah.
And like, but wait, and then at first you think it's just these two kids on a fun spree, right? But then we realize, like, oh shit, they've got a problem. Like, you know, it's like the guy at the store recognizes him, like, hey, your parents are looking for you, and then they run. You know what I mean? Like, the like, and then you even maybe do like they're out of quarters, and there's that dramatic moment. It's like, is there? Are they going to steal money to play more video games?
Yes.
But then you have, but then it's like, no, they let their parents find them, and then they have this moment, and then the dad pulls out more quarters, and they go to play more video games.
All right.
And that
came together pretty nice.
I don't know what this was, but it was a rollicking romp through.
It was a really nice romp, except for that weird Donkey Kong Jr. episode.
Yeah, the Donkey Kong Jr. episode's pretty weird.
That's when the kids are like really losing it. They're like, I'm so angry.
like Mario sucks. Donkey Kong Jr. That was it. What was that? Let's go through to the top. That was Frogger, Paperboy, Donkey Kong Jr., Burger Time, and Ms. Pac-Man.
As the rapper of that
as the rapper
anthology.
Of this, what became an arcade classics, golden age of arcade game classics anthology movie. Wow.
All right. That was fun.
What do we call the movie?
Story
Ready Maker. Player One.
We're going to take a quick break. Please hang around, listen to it, and then we're going to wrap this up right after this.
Hi, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And together we're the hosts of Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. What does that mean for you, the podcast consumer? Well, it means that you're going to get a lot of stories about how we used to do weird stuff to people in order to try to fix them.
Do you know that we used to think diseases were caused by bad smells? And that we used to eat mummies for medicine?
That's super funny. I kind of like it.
Well, thanks, and we hope you'll kind of like our show, Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. It's available every Friday wherever fine podcasts are sold, or at its beautiful, picturesque home at
MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back. This is a weird episode. One, because we recorded on a Saturday. Two, because it's hours before I need to get on the plane here and get out of here, leave you chumps behind. But thank you for listening. Thank you for bearing with us.
Thank you for playing along with us.
Hey. I don't think, if you can't tell, I don't think we're going to do any sort of trailer, because that would be a weird one to cut.
Trailer to do. So.
I think we kind of pitched every episode. I feel like that
as
Ms. Pac-Man
we were doing
kind of. Kind of formed the elevator pitch of the movie idea. So I think we're just going to...
So you, that's enough podcast for you guys. You're cut off.
Yeah, we're done.
Get out of here, you bums. Thank you again to MaximumFun.org for having us on their podcast network and hopefully keeping us on after this wild experimental episode. Thank you to Cameron Covell for slicing and dicing these episodes together. And thanks to my co-hosts, Matt and Will.
Oh, thank you, Freddie.
For coming by on a weekend and... having just a good time every week here on the radio, on the mics. Matt, you can work on your mic technique, but you know, I know you're trying.
I will say that that was nice to hear, Freddie. I gotta say that kind of touched me a little bit, because if you guys want to know, me, Will, and Freddie have literally been probably with each other about 20 hours a day for the past like 10 weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
It's
at this
getting
point.
A little crazy.
So there's a little Stockholm syndrome going on, or the reverse of that happening. So this is very nice.
So yeah, Zyborn Clock literally is just coming out today as we're posting this. So we unfortunately do not have any Zyborn Clock fan art yet. But if we do, we will share that next week's episode. And yeah, I think that might have just about do us.
You did a little Kermit the Frog there.
I think Frogger the Frog. On that very bad Frogger impression.
Why don't you start us off here, Will?
All right. You've been listening to Story Break, and here's the sentence part. I'm doing the sentence. Time
works
like
a
broken
clock
if
you
shit
on
the
only
part
that
you
use.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
The secret is out. I, Open Mike Eagle, officially had a wrestling match. And on the next Tyson Fights, I'm talking all about it. From the rap battles that got us started.
Open Mike, you ain't ready.
Oh, really?
You cold like some spaghetti.
and to how I hurt myself in ways I didn't know I could. That day and the day before, I got so many texts from people who really care about me who were like, please don't break your neck. The only place you can get the full story is on the newest episode of Tights and Fights. Find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.